If the roar of the crowd gives you goosebumps, cashing a slip makes you grin, and above all, you love making your bookie cry, then you're in the right place. The number one spot for premier betting advice and wild opinions, shared with a fan base like no other. Welcome home. This is the Punch List MMA Podcast.
Deep breath.
We're back.
We are back. Myself, producer Jake, the dream team, if you will. We are here. We are back. The hiatus has ended. If you made it this far, you faithful few, congratulations. I appreciate that. That steadfastness. Hopefully your reward will pay off. So here we are. We took roughly 40 days off. There was a brief interlude where it came back to fulfill an obligation to the one and only Patrick over at Addicted to Combat. Came back, did his show. Or no, he came back. We came back. He was on this show. Sorry. And after that, man, we were rocking and rolling. That was it. So there's a couple things I want to touch on before we get into MMA, right? Because a lot of MMA has happened in the last 40 days. I won't recap all of it. We'll kind of chop it up as we go into some more palatable pieces. My man Tony helped facilitate this whole no internet for Lent thing. So God bless you, Tony. All right. So we did no internet for 40 days. Now, no internet in the sense that we could do it. I work from home, so I rely on the internet for that. So I sort of modified that no internet as into no recreational internet. So I tried to limit. I mean, we did no social media. I tried to limit any of my BS scrolling, my news sites. Any of that, tried to limit YouTube, just literally anything that would be considered recreational internet that wasn't work related. I tried to nip as much as I possibly could. Probably the most unplugged I've been in, I don't know, man. It's a hard stretch. I mean, at least a decade, probably a decade. And I will say this, and we'll obviously get into this more in the coming weeks, but the hive mind doesn't like you being gone. The hive doesn't want you straying far. It wants you close. What's crazy to me is that the moment I stopped doing everything, stopped looking at the internet, stopped using social media, I got more emails than I've ever got in my entire life. And it's all trying to bring you back in. If you've never done it, and not like trying to make it sound like some transformative experience, but if you've never done it, if you have social media and all that kind of stuff, just stop doing it for like a week and see what week two looks like, because everything in the world comes at you and tries to bring you back to it. Everything's like, come on back. Just click on this. Just look at it. Just so-and-so said this, this and that said, it's amazing how much it wants you to just, it needs that, right? It's almost like, so it wouldn't be this show if we didn't talk about a book at any one point in time, which I got a whole bunch of new books. We'll have to go over them. But anyway, those of you that are readers, and there's a few of you out there, I'll make this brief. Neil Gaiman, he's a prolific fiction writer, and I'm sure that I've talked about him at some point in time before. But anyway, a couple of his shows or books have been adapted into shows and movies and things of that nature. If you're a Netflix person, Sandman, I believe it is based off a Neil Gaiman novel. But the one in particular I'm talking about here is called American Gods, which is on Stars. They had 3 seasons on Stars. They took some creative liberties for it. But anyway, the general gist of it, I know I'm rambling, it's been a while. The general gist of it is this, is that, again, fiction, all gods are real or were real, and they only exist as long as somebody believes in them still. And their strength is dependent upon the amount of believers in them. And a war gets waged between the gods of old, right? The traditional ones, and the new things that are replacing gods and religions, i.e. media, the world, money, things like that. So you basically have Odin and various other gods that are trying to kill the new gods, which are, you know, like I said, money, the world, media, all this kind of stuff. Interesting books, or interesting book, rather. Maybe they did do a second one. I don't know. I'll have to look. But anyway, very interesting. And anyway, it made me feel that, like, it brought some truth to that, in that the more I was away from the computer, the more I was away from internet, the more it tried to bring me back. Like, hey, I need, like, it felt like it needed me more than I needed it about 20 days in, which was cool. So I got back on Twitter this morning just to kind of see what I missed. And guess what? I didn't miss anything at all. Literally nothing was missed. 40 days passed and I missed nothing. We're all still arguing over the same stuff, right? Everything is transvestites everywhere. Everything is, please come take the guns. Everything is money to Ukraine. Everything is coof. It's all the same. Nothing's changed. Even people's bad MMA opinions have not changed. That weird guy that just showed up that doesn't blink, that now just talks into the microphone and reads stats off Tapology, he's still around. That other guy that gives lukewarm, like oatmeal takes, that just, oh, we're going to see on Saturday night when two gentlemen stepped into the cage to take, you know, their chances in the riskiest game on earth. That guy's still around. You know, there's just a bunch of people, and all the staples are still here. Nobody disappeared either. But, yeah, everybody's still upset. Everybody, again, for a fan base that enjoys watching grown men and women punch each other in the face, and the closest we can get to gladiatorial combat, this has got to be the most soft fan base. Everybody's so upset. Izzy pretended to shoot arrows at Alex, and I made fun of Alex's kid. So what? He's a grown man. That little kid talked trash. I'm telling you right now, as a person that has coached kids, as a person with kids, if you trash talk me, right? Like me and my son, dude, if we play Smash Bros, you know, if we're on the Nintendo and I beat him at Smash Bros, I'm trash talking you. It's just, that's the way that you know what? The world doesn't care if your feelings are hurt. I don't have to dad talk you guys at this point, and gals. There's no point in talking to you like your dad. The world doesn't care about your feelings. Life lessons, parenting lessons with Dale. I tell my kids all the time, eliminate the word fair from your vocabulary. The world doesn't do fair. Nobody does fair. It's a concept to try to make the playing field even amongst everybody. And that's not the case. It's not the way that's not the way anything works. It's not the way it was designed to work. From the creation of the earth, it was never even. Even in level is a lie. It's a lie. There is no median. There's up and down and everything you can kind of step in between. That's it, man. Find your spot. Quit bitching about what's fair. Equity, space, fairness, right? I take up too much room. You're a man. You take up too much room, right? Jake, your mustache takes up too much room. You know, I need space. We need a space where there's other people. Get the fuck, dude, get out of here with that. Yes, and Rube says, I miss the tranny wars. Yeah, dude, I mean, here's a shock. Here's a shock, and then we'll talk about MMA. Here's a shock. People with mental illness are doing things that mentally ill people would do. Unbelievable. That's unbelievable. You mean to tell me that a chick that thought she was a dude, that might have been a chick that was into chicks but was dressed like a dude, somebody that crazy may have thought, yep, I should go shoot something. Of course, look how crazy you are. You're insane. I'm not going to sugarcoat and pretend these people are normal. They're not. And I don't know whether it's mental illness or demonic possession or something in between. Maybe there's some sort of unholy union going on between the two, but why are we going to pretend otherwise? If you got pronouns, stay away from me. Okay. That thus ended every chance I ever had to be on a ESPN. So we're done. That's okay. We're done. Izzy knocked out for my Brazilian friends, Alex Pereira, because Brazilians have to say everything crazy, which don't cancel me. Don't cancel me because I said something about Brazilians. I know, well, just to bring it all circle, because there's a million threads floating around out here, right? So I said something negative about a Brazilian, but you guys get really upset about Tony Kelly because Tony Kelly called Vivian Arajal a dirty Brazilian whenever Tony Kelly was cornering Andrea Lee. You guys got very upset about that. And then when Adrian Yanez knocked him out, you thought like it was just somehow this big giant victory for all of mankind. Meanwhile, literally, Chael Sonnen and your Conor McGregor have said things a million times worse, and nobody's out there going, oh, it's a racist Nazi. Nobody's saying that then. Nobody's saying that now. You guys aren't balking off like a bunch of chickens then. But here we go. Anyway, Alex, my boy Alex, got knocked out by Izzy. Izzy played possum, and he played possum very well. Who knew a guy that dresses like a flamingo could play possum? He did a very good job. He knocked him out. He starched him. That was a bad knockout. Really bad knockout. Can't say we didn't see it coming to an extent. Had a couple text threads going on throughout the fact. Have still been posting plays to betmma.tips, by the way. Didn't leave you guys completely high and dry. Did post some plays there. Anyway, did pretty decent. Decent. Had some threads going about where the script is, right? Year of the narrative, 2023, year of the narrative. All these things have been happening. It's like a movie being written, right? We can see it coming now. I'm hoping that you can see it coming. We've talked about it enough. We've got the mindset going into this year. You should be able to see some of these things coming. So the script was out there. There was three variants of the script that we thought were going to happen for last week's main event. Izzy wins. And then we run a trilogy. Izzy wins. Alex rides off to light heavyweight to try to avenge Glover Teixeira. Or Alex wins and then goes for double champ status. Okay. So looking at those three possible outcomes, what the script could have been, the one we can eliminate right away is Alex winning and going for double champ because he's not a superstar. He's not a superstar, right? Then we go, okay, so then we have the last two. So then we've got Izzy and then we've got Alex winning, right? But what do we know is that Izzy's the closest thing to a superstar that the UFC has right now. He's got an entire demographic of the world locked up, him and Alexander Volkanovsky. And you say to yourself, we can do that or we can do a Brazilian champ who barely speaks English, but he's very scary, but he doesn't speak any English whatsoever. Is that what we're going to go with? Or are we going to try to resurrect a superstar? And then we decide to resurrect a superstar. That's what we go with. So you got a 50-50 shot. I mean, obviously it's a fight, so it's always a 50-50 shot. But when you're trying to look at what sells more, the script sells more. The script sells more. Now, if they do fight a third time, Izzy's trying to say they're not. But Izzy with the trilogy, International Fight Week, or that first big card that they do, like when the school year starts right before football season kicks off, they always have that mega card. You run the trilogy there and it sells a million tickets, and you can do it someplace like Sydney. And it can just, you want to replicate Holly Holm versus Ronda Rousey. You give me Volkanovski versus Yair Rodriguez and the trilogy between Izzy and Alex Pereira, and you give it to me in Sydney, and you watch Australia get so heavy that that half of the island dips into the ocean with how many people go to that fight. That's the script, man. That's the script. Okay. Let's break down some fights. It's been a minute, but we still know how to do this, believe it or not. It is a thing. We've got 14 fights slated for action this coming Saturday. UFC Kansas City, if I'm not mistaken. Are they in Kansas City? I believe they're in Kansas City. Weird thing, there's a Kansas City, Kansas, and a Kansas City, Missouri. So if you're going, make sure you head to the right state. First fight on the main card, Pedro Munhoz taking on Chris Gutierrez. Gutierrez 19-3-2. Munhoz at 19-7. Okay. all the momentum's on Gutierrez's side, right? Pedro has no momentum right now. And then the last time we saw him, he was getting his eye poked and he didn't want to fight no more. Very tough when you get, I actually don't think that was the last time we saw him. This is when people were like, Dale took notes. I just try to recall it all off the top of my dome and I'm smarter than all you. So that's what makes it better. I'm just kidding. That's not true. Well, most people, we'll see. Dominic Cruz, lost to Dominic Cruz, lost to Jose Aldo. It's been a while since we had the finger poke. No, it was the Sean O'Malley fight. Yeah, I was right. Come on. Sean O'Malley was the finger pokey, and then he didn't want to fight no more. I was right. Quit making me think I don't know what I'm talking about. All right. All the momentum's in Gutierrez's side, right? I think that what gives him the advantage here is a full-size cage, so we're not in the apex, and that lateral movement, that's why that's important. So Gutierrez obviously loves those kicks, but he loves to circle to the outside when he's doing it. And then he'll stop, he'll freeze you, and then he fires, right? So circle, stop, feint, freeze, and then fire. Pedro, obviously, is the godfather of the calf kick. I don't care what anybody says, that dude was doing it before anybody else. Pedro Munhoz was. We'll see what happens. That's how you shut that down, right? That's how you shut that down. In doing so, though, you have a Pedro Munhoz who's been hit statistically more than anybody else in the bantamweight division's history. And if I'm not mistaken, might be in UFC history. That dude gets punched a lot. Gutierrez power in the legs, not a ton of power in the hands, although he does have some. I stand by the fact that Munhoz is a dog play here based on quality of competition from what we've seen from Gutierrez. Now, Gutierrez, this is definitely El Wapo. This is definitely his stiffest test to date. A big step up in competition, right? Like you went really big step up here. So Andre Yule win, Felipe Corrales win, Denai Badajal win, and then Frankie Edgar. But this Frankie's retirement fight, all that kind of crap. You know, that's not the Frankie Edgar win that you want it to be, right? That your mind tells you it is. The flip side of that, you got a guy like Pedro Munhoz who has been hovering the stratosphere of elite top five-edness in that division for a very long time. Losses in three out of his last four, one of which was to Frankie Edgar, but it was a split decision that I had scored for Pedro. So for me, in my mind, that's a win. Lost to the champ Aljo, Jose, and Dominic Cruz. What's this tell you? He's only losing to champions, right? You can get rid of the John Dodson loss. Outside of that, the only people that he's losing to, and you can even throw Frankie Edgar in here, are champions. Is Chris Gutierrez a potential champion? I think not. As such, I do not look for my man Pedro Munhoz to drop three in a row here. I think he rights the ship and just goes ahead and sends Gutierrez to that fringe 12 to 15 bantamweight where he should be and live out the rest of his days in his UFC career. So, Pedro, bust him down. Plus 177, make it happen. All right. Next fight on the main card. There's a lot of dogs barking outside. I'm sure you guys can hear that, which would lead me to believe there might be a raccoon out there on my fence. Oh, man. I really want to, like, go look and possibly put that thing in the earth. But, all right. Iwan Kutalaba, 16-9. Tanner Boser at 20-9. Forgive me for this, but I think we're all in the trust tree here, right? Like we're in a spot where we can talk openly with each other. And Iwan Kutalaba's our guy. Has been for a long time. I mean, basically the pioneer Caucus Mountain Warrior. Like when we talk about Caucus Mountain Warriors, like that came from Iwan Kutalaba. Like that's where that originated from, right? That's the ectoplasmic, congealing force of Caucus Mountain Warriors is Iwan Kutalaba. But he has not been good lately, and he's been letting us down a lot. He's really been letting us down. Tanner Boser's former heavyweight finally decided he's just going to work out a little bit, made 205, So here we go. We get a light heavyweight debut. Now, what hurts about this is fading a Caucus Mountain Warrior. You'd be like, all right, well, I just would like to take some Hacksaw Jim Duggan looking All-American steel. But instead, you get Tanner Boser. You got to take a Canadian. And Canadians are very hard to rely on right now. There's not a lot of trustworthy Canadians. Did you know that Justin Trudeau is the love child of Fidel Castro and his mom? Fidel Castro is Justin Trudeau's dad. And they will say that other dorky looking dude is his dad, but it's not. It's Fidel Castro. Jake, did you know this? You did not know this? Let's do some producer Jakeism. Can you pull up a picture of Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister of Canada, and Fidel Castro, please? You guys are going to be amazed. And then we'll show you what his dad looks like. But anyway, it's very tough to trust the Canadian right now, especially Canadian in new weight class. But, man. I think over 1.5 is where I go here. I know it's at 2.5. I realize that it's at 2.5, but I think 1.5 might be the play. Jake, they look exactly alike, don't they? Yeah, they do. Well, you guys will see soon enough. We'll see. All right, let me see what that 1.5 line is at. Let's see here. Where are these dudes at? I don't have a 1.5 yet. Over 2.5, so plus 163. Oh, yeah, dude, look, they look identical. 100%. 100%. Dude, look, if you look, Jake, give me top left. Oh, yeah, or that one right there. That's perfect. No, the one you were on is perfect. Yeah, absolutely, because it has all three of them. Dude, you can't tell me that that's not his kid. And that you say, well, Dale, how do you – I mean, are you just drawing the conclusion of that? But I'm not, because if you look in the middle row, Jake, the third picture in, that is the guy they're saying is middle row. There you go. Or second row. Sorry, third picture in. That guy standing next to Castro – no. There you go. They're saying that's Trudeau's dad. They're saying the guy with the tie is Trudeau's actual dad, and that other guy's and Castro's not. And here's a fun fact. If you look at the very first row that you have right there, Jake, the third picture over that's black and white, that is Justin Trudeau's mom and Justin Trudeau being held by Fidel Castro. I'm just saying. That's his kid. That's his kid. So appreciate you. Appreciate you doing that producer Jakeism, man. That was good. That was good stuff. Old Margaret getting dirty in Cuba, those Havana nights. She wanted to feel dangerous, have a big Latin man laying on top of her, getting all sweaty. Castro, just big stogie in his mouth, just rocking Trudeau's mom. Greasy ass Cuban beard hair falling all over, and she's like, it's so gross. Oh man. Okay. Let's do under 2.5. Let's do under 2.5 here. Plus 160. Ewan fades, right? He's not gonna wrestle his way to a decision here. Tanner Boser, maybe the power comes into play from heavyweight. He's quick on the feet, fast hands. Touches Ewan, who's got a pretty suspect chin, if we're being honest with us, and he's let us down recently. So maybe under 2.5. Probably not going to be an official play here. I lean Boser money line, and I think about under 2.5 at plus 160. Dustin Jacoby taking on Azamat Mirzakhanov. 12-0 for my man Mirzakhanov. 18-6 for Dustin Jacoby, who's been in the UFC, or made his UFC debut rather, before some of you guys were even alive. So, yeah. Glory kickboxing champ. They'll make much ado about that. I dare lean against, go against Jacoby here. If only because Dustin Jacoby finds ways, I don't say he finds ways to not win fights, but like he just, he doesn't necessarily have finishing power. He doesn't necessarily have a second gear, third gear, fourth gear to get somebody out of there. Mirzakhanov can fade down the stretch, but what if he banks two rounds by then? Like, what if we have a weird pick'em first round, a steady Jacoby round two, and then a Mirzakhanov pouring it on in round three, trying to get him out of there, or vice versa? Solid Mirzakhanov two, starts to fade. Jacoby puts the heat on him in round three. Then we get some dicey Chris Lee action in there. And if I'm looking for dicey Chris Lee action, this is a fight that has potential for split decision. And we can get split decision action on this here. Let's see. Oh, let's see here. If I can get fight as a draw, no, that's not what we want. I don't have a split decision line yet, but when it comes out, we'll see. We will see. But that might be the move right there, right? Because fight go over 2.5, we're at almost a near pick'em. I'm gonna lean on that split decision. We'll see what we can do there. I think that might be the play, just because based off Dustin Jacoby's lack of power and his just inability. He's like a tall white Angela Hill, right? He's just like a lot of volume that doesn't really do much. Just shifty enough to make the judges unsure of how they're scoring the round. You know, you really got to put some damage on him in order for him to catch that L. And I'm just going to be honest with you. I thought he won his last fight. That was with the old Khalil Roundtree, where that was a split decision loss. Cool part about that is he beat the shit out of Khalil Roundtree, but then Roundtree cut him in the last round. So then all of a sudden, damage means everything. So get judges that don't know what they're doing, and then we get damage, and then you have no idea what you're looking at anymore. So it doesn't matter whether or not you're outstriking them 2-1 like Dustin Jacoby did. If you're leaking real bad, the judges think you're losing a fight because they're stupid. Co-main event, Edson Barboza taking on Billy Q. We have something to discuss here. We're just going to get into it now because Bill Algeo is the featured prelim. And the co-main event is Billy Q. So I need to know whether or not you believe Bill Algeo's fighting twice in one night or whether or not Billy Q's fighting twice in one night. And I have it on good authority from my man Double Nichols that we may or may not get Julian Arosa in attendance as well. So there is a chance that both or that thrice Julian Arosa, Bill Algeo, and Billy Q might all be in the same place at the same time. I need eyes on, if there's anybody that listens or watches this that attends UFC Kansas City, please let me know whether or not you see Algeo, Quarantillo, just any combination of the two at the same time, because I think they're all the same person. I think they're all the same person. Co-main event, I would go so far as to say that we know what's going to happen in round one. And that is going to be Billy Q is going to damn near lose the fight by getting just rocked with Edson Barboza kicks. Probably Barboza leg kicks are going to be very, you know, very prevalent in this fight. Which, well, it's Edson Barboza. They're prevalent in every fight. We say that. And we say it like we used to believe it for Jose Aldo, right? Like every breakdown of every person right up until Jose quit was like, dude, if Aldo gets the leg kicks going. Aldo, one of the best kickers in the game. If we get Aldo going, there's no telling what could happen. And he just stopped leg kicking. He just stopped. Barboza hasn't stopped entirely, but he has slowed it down, opted away from the leg kicks, been throwing a lot of body kicks lately, throwing a lot of like switch kicks to the body. Doesn't love the leg kicks as much as he used to, which I understand. You know, you're in your late 30s. You don't want to Chris Weidman yourself. So I get it. But here's what's going to happen. Billy Q loses round one. We know this. And then we play Billy Q by finishing two, Billy Q by finishing three. And then we play Barboza by decision. Dale, that's a bunch of conflicting plays. What are you talking about? Well, we look at some of the odds that we're getting here, right? So if we get Barboza to win by decision, we're at plus 300. Okay. Okay. So how do we do that? Well, we do that by what we just talked about with Justin Jacoby, Khalil Roundtree, effective damage. We know that Quarantillo is going to lose round one. We already know that. We know that that's going to happen. It's a foregone conclusion. Billy Q will win, will lose round one. So then we just need a what the hell happened round, which it's a Billy Q fight. What do you mean, well, what the hell happened? It's literally every round two and three, and that guy's ever, since he's existed, has been, what the hell did I just watch? Because it's chaos. So we just need one where Barboza steals one. We just need him to steal another round. We know he's going to get one in the book. So Barboza, by decision, is at plus 300. Okay, we just earmark that. Billy Q wins in round two because he might be able to put the pace on Barboza. If Billy Q is going to win this fight, it's going to happen via finish. It's not going to happen in one because why? He's going to lose round one. You guys got this. All right, we're walking down this path together. Billy Q in round two, plus 575. And then Billy Q in round three, plus 725. We have three components here that can make us a bunch of money if we want to, right? Or you can go small and just get lots of ROI. That leaves us with two bad outcomes, Billy Q by decision and Barboza by finish. Is anybody really playing those? No. So, you know, find your spot and fire here. All right. Main event of the evening, Max Holloway versus Arnold Allen. Full disclosure, the moment this fight was announced and the moment that BetOnline put odds up when it opened up, minus 150 Max Holloway, immediate max bet. Immediate max bet. I won't bury the lead here. I'm all over Max Holloway. This is much like the Drew Dober versus Bobby Green play from earlier. This is, I will not track a higher bet than what I have currently got wagered on Max Holloway. And I am thinking about doubling down on it because I still cannot fathom why this line has not been blown to smithereens. All the big show experience, all the volume, all the cardio, all the chin, all the proven track record. Every single thing says this walks and talks like a duck. I don't understand why this line has not blown into the stratosphere already. This makes no sense to me. And maybe I will be proven wrong on Saturday night. Maybe I am the one who's daft here. Maybe I am the one that doesn't realize that Max's chin is fading and that eventually all in Arnold Allen is going to be the truth or whatever. That's not his name. It's not All In, is it? No. It's, what's his thing? It's Brendan All In Allen. What's Arnold Allen's thing? Almighty. Almighty Arnold Allen. Maybe I'll be wrong. I just don't see it. This seems like the Dontel Mays play. This seems like the Holly Holm versus Yana Kunitskaya play. Like Holly Holm versus I will say this. I came back today, got on Twitter, and there was a legion of messages from you fine people. And I got some emails throughout the time away. I appreciate that. I'm sure some of you are still trying to send me stuff on Instagram. I will never get on Instagram again. So please make the switch over, right? Chat at punchlessmma.com. Shoot me an email or Twitter at punchlessmma. I'm disappointed that I didn't come back to at least one person saying, hey, I just paid off my house on Holly Holm. Like, Holly Holm versus Yana Kunitskaya was a layup. That was a layup. Like those of you who don't play basketball, that's the very easy shot. Whenever you just kind of jump up and you just put it off the backboard, that like while you're running, that's the layup. Like this was free money. Plus or minus 200 on Holly Holm against Yana Kunitskaya coming off of having a baby. Have I taught you nothing? Have I taught you nothing? There's a reason why Amanda Nunes had Nina rifle out those little crotch goblins, because she wanted to keep her power. You can't. You can't do it. Holly Holm was free money minus 200. I didn't come back to one person saying, Dale, free money on Holly Holm. Not one single person. I hope it's just because you're now enjoying your Bezos lifestyle and that you're no longer like, I got to watch some dude sitting in his office with kids' toys in the background talking about betting MMA. I learned enough. I executed. I got out, right? I'm hoping that's the case. It's Max Holloway by a million here. Arnold Allen's not going to win a decision against Max Holloway. Here's your YouTube podcaster clip of the week, right? This is what you're going to hear every one of these low effort goons dribble out of their lips this week. Are you ready? Max Holloway can beat everybody not named Alexander Volkanovsky. That's going to be it, or a variation of that. It'll be a very, he's beaten every opponent he's ever faced that wasn't named Alexander Volkanovsky. Like that's what we're getting. That's what you're going to get all week long. So when you hear that, you just type in the comment section, like, Dale said you were going to say that shit. You suck. Listen to Punchless MMA. No, don't do that. I mean, if you want to, you can, but I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't encourage you to go to another person's content and say negative things about them and disparage them and then promote me at the same time. I would never tell you to do that. That's ridiculous. Would I say that, Jake? I wouldn't say that, right? We wouldn't do that. We're not 10. This isn't a Call of Duty lobby. Ugh. Get it together, man. So Max Holloway by a million. All right, you want to do featured prelims? Or let's do, not featured prelims. Well, let's do those early prelims. We've got Lucy Pudilova, right? And Jocelyn Edwards. Plus 115. Lucy at minus 135 over rounds at 2.5. Women's science. Boy, if you guys played Sam Hughes. Yo-wee. What was that? What was she like? +3 something last week? Women's science. I'm gonna be honest here. I was on Inside the Distance there because I thought if Amarim can't get her out of there, right? Like all these like a world champion jiu-jitsu player. First of all, you're a woman jiu-jitsu player. Slow down. Like a JV basketball player. Easy. Anyway. If not that. If she couldn't choke her out, right, then we'd have her just completely dog tired and Sam Hughes going full Sam Page, right? Going full Sam Page. And we almost had that. Damn it if Amarim didn't almost choke her out in the first round. It was like, okay. I mean, when I think it was like the third time she got the arm under, I literally like put my hands up and was like, we got it, and walked away and then came back and they were still fighting. And I was like, oh, don't I look dumb now? But then round two, she's exhausted, laying on her back, pulling a Ryan Hall. Okay, here we go. And then round three, thought we had it. No such luck. But hopefully you cash some women's science, or did you all forget your women's science textbooks as well? So we have a women's science play here if we want to at Jocelyn Edwards versus Lucy Pudilova, but I'm going to go ahead and say here this is close enough. If it gets any closer, actually, let me pull up a bunch of other books real quick. Let me just see if any book has it closer to a pick'em. No, it's all going the other way. Damn, Bet Online's got the best line here. I like Pudilova a lot in the spot. I think Jocelyn Edwards sucks. I really do. I don't want to sugarcoat that and pretend that she's like super good. I don't think she's very good at all. I think she can come out there. She's going to try to kick from range. She's going to use those gigantic legs, throw punches from her hips, and just try to kick Pudilova as much as she can. But Pudilova is like a I don't know, man. She's like a great value Irene Aldana. Like, she just same sort of weird, sinewy, crafty fight style. They actually had a good fight. I like Pudilova here. I hate to go against women's science. Joslyn Edwards is terrible, though, man. She's really not good at this. I mean, could she probably kick me to sleep. I'm not saying that she couldn't. But as far as this whole thing goes, I don't think this one's it. As far as, like, you know, professional fighting long term, is she ever going to be world champion kind of deal? I don't think that's the case. All right. Gaston Bolanos taking on Aaron Phillips. It's hard to go against a guy with a name like Gaston. And I won't do it here, right? No one's as quick as Gaston. No one thinks like Gaston. No one's incredibly quick at beating Aaron Phillips like Gaston. He's just going to actually just knock the shit out of Aaron Phillips. It's been like 2 years since we've seen Aaron Phillips fight. This is a good fight for Bolanos. -195. Unit bet it like a stock market play. Look for 20% ROI and get out. Get out. Herb Dean, the gold standard, popping in here, my troll brethren. What do we got? Striking will be a lean to Edwards. I got hit. It hits the ground. I expect the difference to be significantly bigger than on the feet. And I think Pudilova will be persistent with the takedowns. Maybe. I think she wants to strike from range, man. She got that slippery jab. You know what I mean? She got that slippery jab. And then because no woman on earth knows how to throw a straight right hand because they got titty meat in the way, they always throw that weird, like, shovel over right, you know, like where it comes around. They don't, you know, they can't just fire it off the piston the way you're supposed to. So we'll see that weird, like DC, like how DC would, like, bring his elbow up and then, like, punch like a superhero. You know what I mean? It looked like old Batman cartoons whenever DC would throw a right hand. DC had the worst striking of any heavyweight champ in the history of, like, anything. Mark Coleman had better hands than DC. You're like, this is a DC jab, right? That weird thing where he, like, puts his hand, elbows out all the way, karate chopping people. Although he did knock out Stipe, for what it's worth. I don't know, man. Golly, I can't figure it out anymore. Threads, they just go everywhere. The threads are everywhere. Bruna Brasil taking on Denise Gomez. Women's science, +142. I don't bet on people I don't know. I don't either one of these chicks, and I don't want to know them. They're not going to be around long enough for me to care. Denise Gomez, give me that women's science money. I will be making a drink when this happens. Lando Venata taking on Daniel Zellhuber. Zellhuber looks like a weird – Daniel Zellhuber looks like Ryan Garcia if Ryan Garcia came over to MMA. Taking on Lando Venata at 12-6-2. Lando continues to get contracts just because he's exciting. He sure as shit can't win a fight. I'll tell you that. That guy has a tough time. The judges don't particularly like him. He taps out the one-arm guillotines. He just has a tough time, right? I'm sure he's very cerebral, very smart, very fluid. When he's in the zone, right, you got that got that flow state going. He's real. He can be problematic. Zellhuber, you know, he's young. I don't know, man. It's the year of Mexico. I hate to go against Mexicans right now. I don't want to do it, but he lost to Trey Ogden, and it was unanimous. You know, we saw this last weekend, is that Trey Ogden is awful. Awful. How often do you bet on Trey Ogden? Not Ogden. Not Ogden at all. Yeah, I don't know here, man. If you can't beat Trey Ogden, I have a feeling that you're just the caliber of person that Lando Venata can beat. Even though Lando finds ways to lose fights, he should win or at least be competitive in. Give me Lando Venata at plus money. That'll be our second plus money play of the night. Give it to me. Give me some Lando Venata plus just a name like Lando, it's hard to go against it. All right, Pierre Rodriguez, 9-0, taking on Jillian Robertson at 11-7. The most popular play every time Jillian Roberts fights is Jillian Robertson by submission. Robertson by submission, right? Like that's, you're going to see a bunch of folks when that hits, they're going to be like, oh, posted it, got it, counts, it's official. Give me some plus 2.75 units on the night. Robertson inside the distance. that's out there. I mean, at this point, I would say so far that if you think Robinson's going to win this fight, you know full well she's not going to do it by decision. So you're going to look at round one finish, round two finish, round three finish, and they are all significantly going to be higher than her regular inside the distance or by sub prop. So just take her in round one at what will be plus 400. Round two will be 6, and round three will be around 800. So just unit math this here and scale in accordingly, right? So that way, no matter what, you win money. That's the way this is going to play out. Like, here's opportunities to get over on some folks here, because Pierre Rodriguez is not good. Jillian Robertson is competent enough as a woman jiu-jitsu practitioner to get a takedown, at least one, and probably round one and maybe some of round two is when she's going to be most dangerous here before, you know, the lotion and shit makes them too slippery. So Jillian Robertson by submission. Okay, cool. That's fine. But play the round one, play the round two, and play the round three. And just scale your units accordingly so that no matter what, when it happens, you make your money back. You can do this. We can do this. It's just betting math. Robertson in round one, plus 6. Robinson in round two is plus 750. And Robertson in round three is plus 900. Guys, gals, people, pronoun folks, you can. This is where we make money. Okay, that's where we do it. Here's a fight that's happening in 2023. I say that because you may listen to this next portion of the show and wonder, did I hit my head somewhere? Did I slip and fall in the shower? Is my wife putting drain cleaner in my oatmeal in the morning? Should I get a paternity test on my kids? Like, that's what this will make you think. That's what you. This will think like this is going to take you back. I mean, we could have went real dark there. Producer Jake, you see me walk right to the edge. I went right to the dude. I went right to the edge. Whew, man, we were close. We were close. Ed Herman and Zach Cummings are fighting in 2023. Ed Herman has a professional record of 24-15. Zach Cummings has a professional record of 24-7. This is a real fight. This is happening in 2023. How on earth is anybody going to handicap this? Like, if you are sitting here, there, wherever you were, and you're like, I confidently feel Zach Cummings at minus 210. In 2023 against Ed Herman. You do. Like, I want to know, like, just can you walk me through that? Like, walk me through how that looks in your brain. In your mind, how does that look? And how do you go to yourself, Zach Cummings? Yeah. Let's see here. Nah. Hold on 1 second. Let's see. So I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you do it. How old were you when you first saw Ed Herman? Well, Ultimate Fighter. I think that was my first introduction to Ed Herman. That's a great question. I mean, I'm 37. Well, I mean, it's not a mystery anyway. I'm 37 going on 67. But yeah. So, I mean, it's a long time. It's been a long time. Like, I remember Ed. How old were you? I remember the video coming out of Ed Herman getting tased by that cop, him and his old lady getting tased by that cop. Y'all remember that? You remember Short Fuse getting lit up by a taser at a gas station? Y'all remember that? That's a like back whenever, you know, you had to search for MMA news. That's when my boy Eddie Herman got, they rode the lightning. They got his ass. They got him. All right. So, if you feel confident about Zach Cummins laying out juicy juice on Zach Cummins at minus 210, go for it, player. But that is not for me. I'm hard passing that fight by a million. I guess I would lean Zach Cummings, I guess. My favorite Ed Herman moment of all time, though, is my man getting that win off that dick kick. That was awesome. That was really just got kicked in the junk, acted like he couldn't continue, and got that W. What a veteran move. What a vet move, man. Unbelievable. Ed Herman, what's up, dude? Try to get Ed Herman on the show, right? You think Ed Herman would big time me? You think that would be a thing? The Brono 2 podcast. All right, cool. I got an email while we were gone, Jake. I got an email from Sam Alvey's manager saying that Sam likes the show and would want to come on. I'm going to go ahead and call bullshit on that right now. Sam Alvey has never listened to this show in his life. This is not when you think of smiling Sam Alvey, the guy that walked out to Drops of Jupiter by train. Does it seem like Punch List is going to be the show that dude listens to? No. That's not the case at all. That we're not. I should have him on anyway. I don't even know what you say to. You know this because you and I have already talked about this. But I'm at a certain point outside of Dober and probably Haley, I'm going to completely phase out bringing fighters on the show. I say this and not from a position of being pompous. I just don't know what to say to people anyway. Like just talking to you for the sake of talking to you. What does that do? Right. Like I've had everybody on from John Anik to Henry Cejudo, Josh Emmett, Calvin Cater, you know, obviously Drew, but Drew's like family at this point. Right. Drew, Haley. I mean, outside of that, like, dude, we have all these people on. What does that do? Like, what am I going to ask you about? What do you think about your next fight? What do you think about your opponent? What do you think about this, that, yeah. This isn't the platform. Like a betting show is not the platform to have like the Joe Rogan style conversations with these people. I try to bring it out over a course of period of time, but like it never shakes out that way. That kind of stuff comes from long form conversation all at once or over a period of time. And to be honest with you, I don't want to sit down and talk to these people that much. I just don't. I don't want to do it. And, you know, if you're a manager and you're like, shoot me an email saying, hey, my guy who just, you know, fought in the LFA would love to come on your show and talk this, that, and the other. Maybe, but it's probably a no. And it's not because I'm big time. And it's just, I don't really want to talk to him. Just don't. What am I going to say? You're a fighter. You like being a fighter? That's cool, man. That's cool. But, you know, if we're not talking about the deep stuff, what are we talking about? You either come on, you talk to me about betting, right? Which you can't do anymore. The UFC says you can't do it. Or we go deep. I want to go into the well. I want to know whether or not you think the earth is hollow. How old do you think the earth is? You come at me with millions. That's what we're talking about. I want to know. That's what I want to know. That's cool, man. You're fighting in the PFL next weekend. Do you think that there's a satanic ring of pedophiles that run the country? Is that what you think? I want to know whether or not you think 5G is making frogs gay. That's what I want to know. But you can't just lean into that. You can't just start the show. I mean, you can start the show out like that, but it's not going to be a long show. You know? Dude, here's a real fact, Producer Jake. Here's a real fact. I'm going to share it with the people here. I learned this weekend. Did you know that lightning storms help your grass grow? Helps your grass grow faster. So, if you are in a storm and there's lightning, the nitrogen in the lightning, basically when it atomizes, that attaches to the oxygen molecules in the raindrops, and the rain brings nitrogen to the soil, and nitrogen helps grass grow. So places that experience high thunderstorm and lightning storms, it will help your grass grow. It grows faster. Fact, science. It's a real thing. I just learned that. It's crazy, man. It's so crazy. All right, UFOs aren't real. What do we got, Jake? What's next? What is the next fight, buddy? Brandon Royval taking on Matheus Nicolau. Nicolau at 19-2, Brandon Royval at 14-6. Nicolau minus 200, Royval plus money. I mean, it's plus money Royval. I mean, that seems, that's going to be a popular dog play. I caution this though, right? This is something I've been saying. Brandon Royval never fights the way you think he fights in your head, right? Like you picture Brandon Royval and you say to yourself, he's like a little Mexican Corey Sandhagen. He comes out there and he's all crazy and squirrely and creative and tries to do all this stuff, and he just finishes people with these highlights. This, like, it's not true. It's not true. He does not fight like that. He gets hurt a lot. He gets hurt every fight physically. And then he also gets rocked a lot. Like, he's not who you think he is. And Nicolau is this weird, methodical, doesn't make mistakes. He's A, B, C, D, victory. Like, that's how that dude wins fights. I don't necessarily know that I love minus two on him here, but I am staying away from Royval. I mean, I guess I could lean him just based off of the money, like the plus 170, plus 180, all this stuff. I mean, you could lean him, but I don't know. I don't know why you would. I mean, other than just you like him, you believe in Team Elevation or wherever he's at and all that stuff. I mean, sure, go for it. But he never fights the way you think he's going to fight. Never fights the way you think he's going to fight. Every time you convince yourself, you're like, this is the Royval that I think about in my head when I picture this dude. And that's not it. All right, TJ Brown taking on Bill Algeo. You already know. We don't have to talk about these things, right? What do the gangsters say? You don't have to say what's already understood, right? That's profound, right? What's understood doesn't need to be said. Yeah, sure. In this instance, Bill Algeo and Billy Q are always plays here. Always. It's just that's what we do, right? Like, that's just, they're part of the equation around here. So we take Bill Algeo. What is the Algeo line? Is he like minus 200, Jake? Because we got the TJ Brown line. We don't have the Algeo. MMA Bets with Shady says the line has steamed. Oh, gosh. Is it unplayable? 50 cents on the dollar, though, man. On Algeo? What, TJ Brown wins round one with wrestling? Right? I understand. Yeah, he says TJ's a dog. I get that. Minus 200 for Bill. Man, Senor Perfecto? I don't know, man. TJ wins round one. He's probably pretty confident coming off the big W's last time out, but golly, man, it's Bill Algeo. It really is. He's such a damn gamer. TJ Brown will be physically stronger. Again, another fight you might want to consider a split decision. I could see a split decision here. Yeah. That's another one. Let's consider Iwan Kutalaba. We'll consider that fight a split decision. No. The Dustin Jacoby Mirza Kanat is a split decision, and So we'll do two split decision plays here: Algeo, TJ Brown, leaning Bill Algeo, and the Mirza Kanat and Jacoby fight, lean Mirza Kanat. All right, feature prelim: Clay Guida taking on Rafa Garcia. As far as I know, this is not Clay Guida's last fight. As far as I know, I think Rafa Garcia is a play here. I would dare say take him by knockout. just because the Clay Guida of old, the head movement is not necessarily there, and the chin is not either. Fight doesn't go to decision plus 140 is interesting. I don't think Guida's going to submit him or anything like that, although it is plus 900. I will say Garcia wins by KO is probably going to be at a very decent plus money price based on Clay's history of it being rather durable, but he is a 40. It's a 40 year old man getting punched in the face. I mean, it's just, that's the way it is, dog. You know, like you can try, but your brain at a certain point, all the liquid that keeps it safe while it's floating around up there, just says, I just don't have as much anymore. Right. I don't have it. Like I've said this every time, I'll continue to say it again. Everybody else bites my shit, so they probably say it too. You know, Clay doesn't get slapped as hard anymore, right? They're more kind of like when you're playing with a dog, right? You want to get them to open up their little like that, you know, just that's how his brother's hitting them now. You know what I mean? I think you get Garcia at good plus money at the KO spot. I'll play him there. I mean, you're looking at Garcia by KO, Guida by decision. Those are like your two most probable outcomes here. You know, gosh, I just really want to play Garcia by KO. I don't think Clay's done. I think we try to get him to one more fight. But man, it's not the apex though. I really wish I knew whether or not Clay Guida was going to retire. I feel like I heard him say not too long ago that he's got a couple more left in him. Couple more. So maybe like one or two more after this. For that, I mean, Garcia minus 260, I won't do it money line, but I will take him by KO, whatever that comes in at. Shooting for plus three. Plus three would make my day. That's a fire spot. All right. Money line rundown. These are all leans, not necessarily official plays. If you want official plays, follow me, betmma.tips. If you want to, I just do it for third party. What do they call that? Accountability. There you go. All right. Pudilova, Bolanos, Gomez, Venata, Robertson, Cummings, Nicolau, Algio, Garcia, Munoz, Bozer, Mirzakhanov, Billy Q, and Max Holloway for all my money. All my money. 40 days away. Lent was good. Holy Week was good. Had family in town. It was good. This was good. It was good. Got a bunch of new books. It's been good. Going to the beach this weekend, bugging out for a little bit, so that'll be nice. Angel says, welcome back. Angel, what's up, buddy? Good to see you. Austin says, scares for a second. I decided to go, am I? No. We're good. It was all planned, man. Come on. You know that. It was all planned. It's all part of the plan. Shout out to my boy Tony, who was one of the first ones in here. Him and I talked for a while prior to deciding to do the no internet for Lent thing. And he kind of had my back on that. So Shady says, who is the vet in the back? Well, so producer Jake is a vet, as am I. The flag is my grandfather, and the picture beside it is my dad, which he is still alive. He has not passed. But I just have his picture there because I'm in the process. What will happen here in the coming weeks is my office will be transformed. And that wall in particular, there you go. We'll put a lot more pictures and stuff up there. Right now, I've just got some artwork from my kids. My one is a rather talented artist. She loves to give me stuff, so I put it up there. But yeah, I have his Marine Corps picture. I just have it there, just you know, because it's eventually going to go up anyway. So Although it does look like that's the flag and the person who you know, whose flag it was, but that's, it's not. I realize that looks different. You're very welcome. All right. So let's go ahead and put a bow on this thing. I appreciate everybody that came in. Stop by for a split second. If you don't mind subscribing, liking, sharing, all that kind of stuff, that helps out. I'm just going to go ahead and be forthright with you. Social media will taper down a little bit. I really enjoyed the dopamine realignment in my brain from not being online as much. So I think I'm going to try to keep as much of it as I can. Show's not stopping. Everything keeps going onward and upward. But those of you who that are accustomed to very quick responses to me with like the tags and the DMs and stuff like that, that's, you're going to notice a little bit more of a lag time there. So anyway, thanks everybody. I hope you were good for those 40 days and we got some money to make this weekend, man. Max Holloway, Max Bet. Be good to each other. God bless you. We'll see you.